We have had a slight challenge.
I don't want to worry you, Dave and Val. Yesterday, the heater wasn't working. And then it was working. And now it's all okay. And then this morning, just as we were about to start, the battery went in that fire alarm up there. So we had to have the steps across the hole and change the battery. But I want to just show you that we're not the only ones that have to be overcomers on Easter Sunday. And I came across this little story just before I start. It says, the call to worship had just been pronounced starting Easter Sunday morning service in an East Texas church. The choir started its processional singing. Up from the grave he arose, they sang, as they marched in perfect step down the center aisle to the front of the church. The last lady was wearing shoes with a very slender heel. I'm going again. Without a thought for her fancy heels, she marched towards the grating that covered the hot air radiator in the middle of the aisle. Suddenly, the heel of one shoe sank into the hole in the radiator grate. In a flash, she realized her predicament. Not wishing to hold up the whole processional march without missing a step, she slipped her foot out of her shoe and continued marching down the aisle. Only a lady could have done that. Us men would have struggled at that point. There wasn't a hitch. The processional march moved with clock-like precision. The first man after her spotted the situation and without losing a step, reached down and pulled up her shoe. Unfortunately, the entire grate came with it. Surprised but still singing, the man kept on going down the aisle, holding in his hand the grate with the shoe attached. Everything still moved like clockwork. Still in tune and still in step, the next man in line stepped into the open hole and disappeared from sight. The service took on a special meaning that Sunday, for just as the choir ended with "Hallelujah, Christ arose," a voice was heard under the church shouting, "I hope all of you are out the way because I'm coming out now." So, the little girl closest to the aisle shouted, "Come on, Jesus, we'll stay out the way." So, we're not the only ones who might have. Do I need the handheld, Al? No, okay. Yes, you can be released. Okay. That's great. And none of them have gone in the hole, which is a good step. Things are progressing forward. Okay, could I have my slides up, please? So in a little while, Dave and Val are going to go down into the sweet, warm water of Rugeley. And it will be warm. I can assure you it will be warm. And what they're doing is a visual expression of what Jesus has done for us. It's what he did for us over this Easter Sunday. On the Friday, he gave his life for us. A sinless man gave his life for our sins. And he died. And that's, as Dave and Val are standing in the water, one by one, they'll go back into that water. That's that visual expression of Jesus dying. It's like they're saying, "Jesus, you died on the cross for me. From now on, my old lifestyle is dead. I've broken with sin." While under the water, now we won't hold you a couple of days under. Though we do have some nice pipe music that plays while you're under there, okay. It's like their old sinful life is being buried. Then we'll lift them back out of the water. And as their son is doing it, we will say we will lift them back out of the water, Richard. Yeah, we will do, yes. It's like they're expressing, "Jesus, you were raised from the dead." That's what happened this Easter Sunday. That's what we're celebrating this Easter Sunday. And by that power that raised Christ from the dead, they are able to live totally new lives. It's why Jesus
said that we are new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Paul said, he is a new creation. Now, you're not going to physically change. It's the inward bit that changes. It's the bit that changes. So, what changes is our attitude, our speech, our actions, as you continue to grow in Christ. And that's the same for anyone that has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. But it's not just about new life. There's more to it than new life. You think, wow, there's more than that? Yes, there is more than that. Because our lives should be and can be led and lived abundantly because of what Christ has done for us. So that's what I want to just spend a few minutes talking about now. Abundant living. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I had this photo taken the last time I spoke. And these three were on the front row. And they came up at the end and said, that's the best you've ever spoken, Richard. I said, are you sure? The ESV says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus said that we not only have to have life, not only we can have life, but we can have it abundantly and full. So, what is abundant life like in Jesus then? I'm sure you can all tell me, but I'm just going to go through a few things and show you what abundant life in Christ is. Abundant life is a life that is filled with things that are good for us. People who enjoy an abundant life in Christ will possess all of these qualities: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, purity, humility, modesty, faith, character, wisdom, enthusiasm, dignity, optimism, confidence, honesty, and a relationship with God. That's not a bad life, is it? Okay, it's not a bad life to me then. In other words, it's a life full of the things that money can't buy. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. And you think, that's a strange. How can we come buy and eat? We've got no money. Well, we'll see. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. You know, no matter how much money we have, we cannot buy more patience, more self-control, or even our salvation. That's freely given by Jesus. No hardware store sells wisdom or hope. If you find one that does, then let me know. But I don't see that. Yet we can possess all these qualities that I've just read out. We can get every one of these from God, who is the giver of all good things. James tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. An abundant life is found in Christ and nowhere else. Anyone that doesn't have Jesus in their life will not be able to experience true abundant living. No doubt many non-Christians can experience some happiness and satisfaction in their life, but usually they're practicing the qualities that make up an abundant life, such as patience, integrity, and kindness. We see that in the world. We see a lot of other things, but we do see that. They will also try and avoid things that destroy an abundant life, like despair and negativity. But Jesus was quite clear. He said, unless we believe in him, we will all die in our sins. This is true for anyone that hasn't experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They are spiritually dead. Paul explains to us in Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, that's sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, that'd be a good place just to stop and worship now, wouldn't it? But you're not going to, because I've prepared all this, so you'll have to wait a bit longer, okay? We must realise that no matter how much happiness a non-Christian might experience, it does have its limited in quality, and it's only temporary. You can't live an abundant life and yet be spiritually dead. It can't be. Yet, those of us in Christ, and those of us who accept Christ, the abundant life is waiting for us. God is inviting us to experience an abundant life. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Provides us with everything to enjoy. Did we catch that? It's God's desire that all his children discover happiness and satisfaction in this life. Yeah, we will come into the fullness of that in heaven. But we can experience that abundant life, a abundant life, on earth. In fact, we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case we didn't get that part, he says again, I will say rejoice. Should it not be our pleasure to obey what the Lord commands us to do? And yet, unfortunately, many of us, as Christians, are still missing out on an abundant life. Perhaps they do not believe that such a life exists, that is available to them. Yet, if we notice what I've read in John 10:10, Jesus didn't say, I come that some may have life to the full. No. All believers are invited to discover abundant living. It's available to all God's children, no matter what the circumstances. Now, sometimes that can be hard for many of us as Christians to accept. As even amongst Christians, people assume that abundant living depends on circumstance sometimes. Their subconscious, their thinking thinks, it's what I've got in the bank. I can have an abundant life if I've got my needs met with what's in the bank, or my status in life, or health. Now, no doubt, some of these things are highly valued in people's lives. Yet Jesus said, what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Wealth, power, status, and worldly pleasure have nothing to do with living the abundant life. So how can we identify the abundant life? Well, if we're saying it's an abundant life, there must mean that something is of abundance. This is where it gets technical. He's saying abundant life. So I guess he's saying that our life should be full of abundant living. This, of course, is referring to life itself. When we're living life to the full in Christ, not just merely existing or simply trying to make a living, then the things that makes us anxious will slowly disappear. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Now, if we allow ourselves to remain preoccupied with what we consider to be the basic necessities, we will not be able to enjoy abundant living. It's a mistake to allow the urgent to control us, because this will cause us to miss out on what is truly important. As we learn to see what life is truly about, we will begin to see those around us who are living that successful life that is full in Jesus. And these people will go about their lives full of meaning, of hope, happiness, satisfaction, vitality, and peace of mind. And whatever the adverts say, you don't need a yogurt to be able to do that. Jesus can do that for you. They'll enjoy quality friendships, have family relations, and a strong faith in God. So, let us look at, briefly, what abundant life is not. It is not necessarily a life of comfort and ease. Well, you've just told me, Richard, that we can. It's going to be great. It will. But sometimes we need to go through the fire in order to melt away the impurities inside us. That's how God refines us. That's how we grow in Him. And I shouldn't have done that in red, should I?
No.
It's why James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." They say the preacher has to learn first. We've had trials this weekend with that heater. I've never prayed over a heater so much in my life. And then to top that this morning with the fire alarm going, these are trials that we think are little, but we face. And we grow, hopefully, in them. It's not dependent on outside circumstances. It's not what happens to you that is nearly as important as to how you respond to it. Some of the greatest people in our country grew up in poverty and extreme hardship. So remember, it's not what happens to you that is nearly as important as how you respond to it. An abundant life is not glamorous, flashy, or outwardly impressive. It's very much like the small gate that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And the reason so few of us will find it is because it takes effort to even notice it. It has no flashing lights, no whistles, no bells. We have to pursue it with all our heart in Jesus. It's not necessarily obtained quickly. You know, in some degrees, people can receive eternal life quickly as long as they have a little faith in Jesus. That's not the way with an abundant life. It can take a few years before a person can experience it because it's a process that often takes time. But don't let this discourage you. A person who is 100 pounds overweight may take a little longer to reach their ideal weight than someone who is only 10 pounds overweight. Nevertheless, they can still achieve the same goal, even if it takes a little longer. In the same way, it's the same process for people to obtain the abundant life. It may take a little longer for some people because they may be carrying a little extra spiritual baggage than others. Some baggage is a little harder to loosen than others. The point is, in a few years from now, God willing, we're going to be a few years older, God willing. And we're either going to be a few years older and enjoying abundant life, or we'll be a few years older and still not enjoying the abundant life. The choice is yours. Finally, it is not easy to obtain, and this should not be surprising. Almost everything worthwhile tends to take time and is harder to obtain because it requires effort to keep it, and it requires that deeper relationship with Jesus. So if these are the things of what abundant life is not, what would be a good description of abundant living? Okay. We're living the abundant life when we clearly understand that failure is an event, not a person. That yesterday ended last night, and today is your brand new day. This is your brand new day. We're living the abundant life when we've made friends with our past, are focused on the present, and optimistic about our future. We know that success doesn't matter and failure doesn't break us. And boy, if some of these spoke to me this week. We're living an abundant life when we're filled with faith, hope, and love, and live without anger, greed, guilt, envy, or thoughts of revenge. We are mature enough to delay gratification and shift our focus from our rights to our responsibilities. We know that failure to stand for what is morally right is a prelude to being the victim of what is criminally wrong. We're living the abundant life when we are secure in who we are, so we are at peace with God and in fellowship with man. We have made friends with our adversaries and gained the love and respect of those who know us best. We're living the abundant life when we understand that others can give us pleasure, but genuine happiness comes from doing things for others. We're living the abundant life when we are pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, and generous to the needy. Ooh. That's all very well for you to say, Richard. Well, it is all very well for me to say. But we can live that life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we can live that life. We love the unlovable. You want to be a church of hope and restoration, folks? We love the unlovable. Give hope to the hopeless, friendship to the friendless, and encouragement to the discouraged. Not only will you live an abundant life, but you will change the atmosphere and culture of those around you by doing those three simple things. You will change the atmosphere. We are living the abundant life when we look back in forgiveness, forward in hope, down in compassion, and up with gratitude. That's a life to live. We're living the abundant life when we know that he who would be the greatest among us must become the servant of all. We recognize, confess, develop, and use our God-given physical, mental, and spiritual abilities to the glory of God and for the benefit of mankind. And then finally, we're living the abundant life when we stand in front of the Creator of the universe and he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So in finishing, we can know how to receive this abundant life. It's not a magical formula. There's no magic involved, because Jesus has said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" The abundant life is there for us. Babe and Val, when you come out of that water this morning, you'll be like that. You may physically do that, which would be great. You don't have to use the steps. Just bounce straight up. But I can say from all my heart, that's how you'll feel inside. Because in your obedience, the Spirit does something within you when you go down into that ordinary, sweet, rudely tap water. But my prayer for you two is that that feeling, the Spirit makes it a reality. That your life will become an abundant life. That you live that abundant life in Christ. And for those of us who realize, maybe as Christians, we've never experienced that abundant life or discovered it, the most important thing that we can do right now is agree that Jesus really has come so that we can and have and enjoy life to the full. So if you came in grouchy this morning, you can bound out in abundant love this afternoon. If you've already said yes to Jesus and asked him into your life, then you can experience abundant life and living. But remember, it is a process. It takes time. It's a lifestyle. But But Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So pray it, but don't pray it and sit there. Pray it and live it and outwork it and allow the Spirit speak to you. Maybe you don't know the risen Lord here this morning. Maybe this seems all a bit strange to you this morning. Well, I believe in the living God. And I believe that in everything you're going to see today, that he's going to speak to you. That maybe this is an opportunity and a time when you realize the big hole that you have in your life. And we're not about selling and we're not about forcing. But this is the day when our Lord and Savior rose. And maybe you just want to talk with who you came with at the end. Maybe you'd like to talk to some of us when you at the end. But can I ask you to think about, as was said at the beginning, this is a day that's more than just eggs and chocolate, as nice as that is. But if you've got to lose that £100 at the end of the day, some may say it's worth it, then you can. But please, just talk to someone, because you can know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour today. So can somebody, I want a fast runner, Isaac. It's all right. Don't look like that, Isaac. I'm not asking you to do 10,000 metres, you just got to go out to the Sunday club and say, can they come in? Okay. And I'm going to pray. Yeah, Father, I do thank you for Easter Sunday. I thank you that without this day, we wouldn't be here, Father. Because not only did you die for us on the Friday, a sinless man, Father, you rose on this day. Jesus, you rose. You conquered sin and death this day. And I thank you, Lord, that you came into my life. Lord, I thank you that you came where there was that big hole in my life, Lord. And Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray that we will be corporately and individually a people who lead life to the full. Lord, you have come so that we can enjoy life abundantly, that we can enter into all of that which you have called us to be. And you know, Father, that will have an effect on those around us as well. It won't just touch us and change us. It will change the people that we are with. So Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as we seek this abundant life, remember this. There will always be times, there will always be circumstances when life will feel tough. It's not a gooey chocolate factory life type of, you know, that when we become Christians we leave. We will still face the same circumstances we face before we become Christians. But the difference is we have Jesus with us in them. And I've asked Sam and Luana if they would do a dance to a song which is called Always. It's by Kirsten Stanfill. It's a song that has really spoke to my
heart. Developing their skills over many years, and they're now going to take the heater out, remove the polythene and the lids. Yeah.